Squeeze my dits, squeeze my tits and pull my dick real hard. I think you could even do pull my dick and squeeze my tits real hard.
I think I like that one better.
Yeah.
Because it's a surprise that he's got tits
That's dick. Exactly right. Squeeze my dick and pull my tits real hard.
You sound just like Scotty McCreery when you say
Those are the lyrics, right?
No, that is. He couldn't sing that on American Idol.
Squeeze my dick and pull my tits real hard. That is how to do it.
You gotta pull them real hard.
Pull my tits real hard for me to get off now. You don't know what kind of guy. I like to have my tits pulled hard.
Do you think a lot of guys like having their tits pulled real hard?
Yeah, definitely. Guys are into that. Anything that you can think of, guys are into.
I know. You remember Scotty McCreery was on American Idol and that was his riff? Like, he kept doing that. Squeeze my tits and pull my dick real hard.
Real hard.
That was the one thing that he could sing over and over, and the judges give him shit.
We got a mess of cables. Christ.
It's
hot in here.
Jet lagged.
Fuck. So we're back, and we pre-recorded episodes that we uploaded them. I thought we were gonna have trouble uploading them from Africa. I didn't tell you that.
Oh no!
But I was like, oh, with their little elephant fucking internet connection.
The zebras pulling the internet?
Yeah, the zebras running out ahead to pull the internet. We're gonna struggle to upload this, but we actually had great internets.
That was surprising. I know.
But we were one episode short of what we needed because we didn't factor in flying back and being dead. So,
we flying around the world. It took 26 hours to get home yesterday. And then by the time we get home, we're like, should we record?
And I went straight to a gig.
To work today. Yeah. Forget it. And even right now, it's about 8:30 at night, our time.
We're melting.
And it's slowly. I don't even know how we're going to do this.
Because
we've had some wine now to help.
Our fucking brain, our body, and everything is 9 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Of 8:30 at night, which is what?
It's
bajillion o'clock.
1400
o'clock. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to deliver you a late episode. This is Your Mom's House. Where can people see your jeans?
Oh my gosh, you guys, my jeans are going to be super high. I'm going to the Miami Improv.
305.
September 12th through 17th. My jeans are going to be there. And then Peoria, Illinois at the Comedy Jukebox. Now, do I pronounce the S Illinois?
No.
I don't say that. Mm-mm. Fuck. I'm so stupid.
You know who's from Peoria, though, right?
Illinois.
You know who's from Peoria? Richard Pryor.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay, that's so cool. Do you think he'll be there?
He might be at the club. He might be at the show. That's the birthplace of Richard Pryor and Sam Kinison, I think, also.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a very good comedy town. Comedy Jukebox, September 27th through 29th. Come see me, please. What about you, James?
I'm going to be in Toronto, Canada. I think September 20th through the 24th, I think. I think it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, something like that. Weird thing, but it's Just for Laughs in Toronto. So I'm doing a bunch of different shows there.
Oh, that sounds neat.
So
that sounds neat, buddy.
Do that. And then I think just after that, sometime in late September, early October, I'm playing Winnipeg. Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg. I love Canadians.
You do, man. You've been really tearing it up in Canada this year.
Fucking love them.
Oh my God, I feel better.
Maria, love that. But if you guys ever, I know sometimes you tweet us and you're like, when are you coming to Chicago? When are you coming?
Yeah.
Always check our websites, TomSegura.com or ChristinaComedy.com, and we keep all our dates updated there.
Wait a minute. Is your last name Comedy?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My last name's too hard to put on a website.
I thought your last name was Comedy. Well,
are we ready? Can we start the damn fly floofs?
Fucking show.
Mr. Jones?
Right.
Sit down, please. What can I do for you today?
Okay, I have this problem, this very delicate matter. I have a friend of mine wants to immigrate to South Africa.
Yes, of course. I can certainly help him do that.
Oh, sure. But I want you to talk him out of it.
Talk him out of it?
Yeah.
Whatever for?
Well, you see, this is such a bad time for him to go to South Africa. I mean, with all the trouble and everything, okay?
Look, why don't you ask your friend to come back later in the week? We can sit down.
He's here. No, he's here. He's here.
He's here?
Yeah, he's here now.
Where?
Alphonse. Alphonse.
How you doing?
I think there must be some mistake.
Say what?
Sir, listen to your friend here. He knows what he's talking about. I don't think you really want to go to South Africa.
Why not?
Because you're black.
You are. He is.
Of course I'm black. That's why I want to go to South Africa. To join up with my oppressed brothers. To take up the struggle against the tyranny of the racist, fascist, white minority regime.
Fascist, white regime.
One man, one vote.
One man, one vote.
Free South Africa, you dumb son of a bitch. This shit is big time.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand.
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitsky.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Oh man, it's good to be back.
It's so good to be back and to play that clip because for the first week we were there, kept saying that over and over.
You're black.
You're black.
You're black.
And it's not black, it's black.
It's black.
It's an E. You're black.
You're black.
I love to say that. You know what's a trip though? Being in South Africa is that black people are just, they're called blacks.
Yeah.
And the categories, it was kind of weird in the beginning to be able to just say like
there's
black.
Definitely some, that you have to say black.
Yeah, they don't go African or African.
I mean, they're African too.
They're you could
say
true
African. Yeah, but they don't like say, oh, you know, he's like you're black.
Yeah.
And then they have another category that's perfectly not only accepted, it's that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
And that is colored.
Ugh,
and colored.
So weird to say.
Basically, the best way to explain it to outsiders is it's essentially mixed people.
Right. Like so, black plus something else.
Yeah, like when, you know, when you see like somebody who's black and white, they'd be like, "Oh, you're colored."
Right.
But they don't go like, you know, here it's an outdated and considered bigoted term.
Yeah, crazy.
For black.
Right.
Like that, there's a progression. It went Negro in like the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
Then colored.
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah. Negro, then colored.
I wasn't around back then, Tom.
I think colored was after. So anyways, what I'm saying is that in our minds, what is a outdated and not acceptable term is what they categorize a whole race of people as.
They still, yeah, it's common to say that, and it's not considered offensive.
Yeah, like that was one of the big jokes from a South African comic, David Kao, when he was performing, was talking about Obama, and he would be like, these Americans think that Obama is their first black president, and then he like pauses and he goes, "He's colored," and the place explodes.
Yeah,
but you have to put together that, you know, for them, he's not black.
Correct. Yeah, he's mixed.
Right, and which means he's colored,
which is so crazy. So obviously, we just came back from South Africa.
This is our South Africa episode,
and so when you get there and you look around and you're like, oh, there's so many different people, and then someone breaks it down for you, the apartheid system, which fucking horrific.
Yeah.
And we went to the apartheid museum and we saw Nelson Mandela's house. Anyway,
it was amazing, right?
It was awesome. There it is. There we go. I love it. And there's like tribal, like it's.
You recognize the song?
Is this from the Nando show?
This is what David would come out to.
Yeah.
A version of this.
Yeah. What is this?
Some fucking African
shit. I love this. But they broke it down. When they break it down for you as an outsider, you're like, what? So there's the Dutch came.
Yeah.
Colonized these sweet African people, took their gold, basically, and put in the system of apartheid, which is horrifying and categorizes people and subjugated black people to living in slums, and it was awful.
It is. It really is a realization of white supremacy in as a societal norm. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
When you see how fucking just terrible that system. It was
how
the most
awful white people are.
It was the most abusive, awful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you read stuff in books and you, like, in our own history is pretty awful too. But when you, there's just so much more recent, you know, they weren't a democracy till 94, and that's really when apartheid essentially ended.
Right.
So we were kids when they're.
Well, I was in junior high when Nelson Mandela was released. I remember listening to it
90.
On the radio.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, kind of understanding what was going on, but then when you go there, so there's categories of human beings. This is how they categorize people. There's white people, which you're super lucky if you're white, and you get to
your life is chill,
awesome. You get to be educated as high as you want. You get you get land, and then there's black people. Which is like, you're just fucked. You don't get to go to school beyond sixth grade. And then there's colored people, which is a black plus a mixture of anybody. Anything. And Indians is their own.
And there's
category.
A ton of Indians in South Africa. A
ton. And they have the wealth, which is good.
Who has the wealth?
Indians, they say, are pretty well. Like in Durban.
Oh, now you mean?
Now, not back in the day.
Yeah.
No,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, there's just so many. So there's bound to be some that are pretty well off, I guess.
Yeah.
Like in India, Indians are like Mexicans in the States.
That's such a good analogy, Tom.
Really? It's true.
They are good with money. My stepdad, who's Indian,
no, I don't mean
super
that.
Good with money.
I'm saying like them being outsiders but having a huge presence in the country.
Oh, the Mexicans of Africa, yeah.
Right. There are Mexicans.
Yeah. That's true, babe. So that was crazy.
You're black.
And then
their E's are A's and their A's are E's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And then they always say
pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
That's a big thing that they say. Like when you say thank you, they go
pleasure.
But it gets creepy after a minute.
It gets very creepy when people keep saying
pleasure
to you. Our sweet friend Lauren always was with the
pleasure.
Am I supposed to do this? Thank you for bringing me this.
Pleasure.
Very friendly.
Oh, hello. It's a pleasure to see you.
You know what I realized, Tommy, is that...
Pleasure.
South Africans are much nicer than we are.
Definitely.
By far.
Yeah, and it was pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
I didn't get any shitty... weird feelings from anybody.
No
weird looks, no attitude, no nothing.
No,
everything was great.
Smiling. Are you guys the comedians? And super nice to us. It really. And then we get back to the States and it's like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, all right, back to America.
Everybody is like, fuck are you looking at?
Here we go.
What? Quit eyeballing me, man.
Quit eyeballing me. Nobody eyeballs you there. They're super nice. We joked about AIDS a lot while we were there.
Tons.
A lot of AIDS jokes. We opened a lot with AIDS jokes. And I found that it stopped being funny after a while. Because I was like, oh, this kind of shit's real for them. Like,
not for me, it wasn't.
Really? I dropped my AIDS joke last few shows. I'm like,
did it all 15 shows for me, yep. I'm hoping to get a copy of it because David... recorded one of the sets, so I got it on video. I'm gonna post it online.
It's just real over there.
What, AIDS?
Yeah. Because at one point in your act, you start by being like, who's from Johannesburg? Woo! And they applaud. And then you go, who is from South Africa? Who's proud to be South African? Woo! And then you go, who doesn't have AIDS? And then it significantly drops off. Significantly less people cheer.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, no, I'm not going to be fucking tonight. And it gets a great laugh. But you're like, oh, wow, this shit's real.
Very real. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it gets a big reaction, though, too.
Yeah.
If it weren't real, nobody would. Like, if you said that in any other number of countries, they would be like, huh? Why is he at? Like, they react because it's relevant.
Of course. Yeah. It's really. And, oh, man. Yeah, it was depressing. You know what was crazy when we were over there is the coal miners' strike. And the police gunned down 30 coal miners.
Yeah.
And
We were 34, and then a few Jesus died later Christ. In the hospital.
Oh my God!
I think 40 total have died.
Well, I mean, it's sad and awful. When we were watching it as it was happening.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, man. They just fucking opened fire on a bunch of protesting miners.
Protesters with machetes.
Yeah.
Not carrying guns.
You know what was surprising to me was, I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners follow this story, but a lot of the people I spoke to, South Africans, and I'm talking about like black South Africans.
Yeah.
Totally were like, oh no, the cops had to do that.
I was right. Like, what? Yeah.
I thought everybody was going to be like here, whenever cops shoot and kill people, the sentiment from people is like, can you believe these asshole cops?
It's fuck the police, basically.
You know, excessive force is always a thing.
Yeah.
Over there, everybody was like, well, what the fuck do you expect? Those guys had machetes.
Well, they had knives, guys.
They had knives!
Knives are up against rifles any day. Well, that's what I was getting at. And I think that is Americans have such a low tolerance for that type of violence. But over there, it was like, yeah, well, that's fucking our normal.
Yeah.
And it does make you realize how lucky and kind of cool it is that we don't get gunned down daily Man. By our police force for protesting.
One thing that traveling always kind of teaches you is just how lucky you are to be born in the right place.
Oh, I think about it all the time, man.
God damn it. When you see the way some people live, you're like, yeah. What did I do, you know, to deserve this life?
I think about it every day. I think about it. My parents, if they didn't escape from Hungary, I could be living in Budapest. I could be fucking living with my retarded cousin, Chubba.
But don't you forget and take things for granted, though, too?
I do, man. When I get upset because my fucking, you know, sandwich didn't come fast enough.
Right.
Or, like, my meal isn't exactly as I wanted. Yeah. Or, yeah, it's depressing.
They're like, right now, I'm hot. I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Hot. I'm not perfect right now.
Right. Right? That's totally what we are. Yeah. Ugh, everything's not awesome all the time for us.
When everything around me is not perfect, I deserve to complain about that. Lack of perfection.
Yeah.
In my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very upsetting.
Oh, my internet connection, not fast enough.
Fuck.
DVR didn't record the entirety of my show.
And we get to yell at people in this country. We get to call somebody and go... Yeah. This fucking isn't working as fast as I want it to work. And they go, I'm so sorry. Can I give you a refund of some kind? And you're like, yeah, whatever.
What do you think happens in Africa when something goes wrong?
I don't care. No.
Cosa.
Yeah.
Cosa. You know, they talk like that, you guys. They talk like that. The clicking stuff, it's called cosa.
Yeah.
Cosa. Cosa. And they fucking talk in clicks. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize, like, I know you don't, you know it, but you don't until you see it. Like, they're tribal people, man.
Mm-hmm.
People that speak Zulu and Xhosa and all these crazy languages.
Yeah.
Afrikaans. And they all live together side by side.
It's pretty incredible,
it's
man.
It's awesome.
It's pretty incredible. They really do pull off, like, a melting pot, I think, better than anywhere I've seen. Because there really is like a kind of a sense of harmony there, isn't there?
There was a word that
intertwined.
Annika used. Yeah, intertwined. This girl that was running our thing, intertwined. And I thought, well, that's a neat way of putting it. Because we live next door to Mexican people, to black people, but our lives are not as intertwined, obviously, to some extent, but not as much. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people.
We should say, like, our show, we had a great show, man.
Shows were amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what a cool way they did it. We had... Our show was basically this. We were doing theaters. We did a week in Durban and then a week in Johannesburg. And, Joburg. Excuse me. We had Brian Hainer, guitar guy.
Who opened for Jeff Dunham.
He did years with Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
He came out and he would open the show. And then what he would do just a few minutes, but then he would do... The South African national anthem on electric guitar. There's something about being in whatever country you're in, and somebody playing the national anthem on electric guitar.
Yeah.
That sets shit off in a way that you really can't. You know, you can't compete with that.
Yeah.
There's no way you could compete doing what he did. With like an MC coming out and be like, you guys ready to have fun tonight?
Oh, yeah. The crowds were at a zero.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, and he would take it to like a 10 with his playing,
within
his
minutes,
songs, and
within
his
a
jokes.
Couple minutes.
Amazing.
I mean, the applause, the reaction from his song and the national anthem was arguably the most explosive reaction, period.
You know,
and it's in the first few minutes
of
the show.
I know. Do you know how stupid I was? Every time I hear him do it, I'd picture our national anthem, and then I'd get really excited thinking about him playing our national because I didn't want to give it to them. I'm like, fuck you, man. This isn't my anthem.
That'd have been so funny if he had played America's
United States.
Yeah.
Best country in the world, and, fuckers.
Fuck, man.
I wish he would have done that.
He went out. Yeah, he did that. And then our host for the whole thing was Finesse Mitchell, who I had never met before. Finesse Mitchell was on SNL.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
A little tiny credit.
Little show called Saturday Night Live. But what I was most blown away by, I had no idea. I didn't even know until a few days when we were backstage talking, and I was like, where are you from? And he was like, from Atlanta. I'm like, oh, did you go to high school there? And he's like, yeah. And then, this is how it came up. I go, so are you a Georgia fan or a Georgia Tech fan? Because usually Atlanta people are one or the other.
Mm.
And he was like, neither. Like, I went to University of Miami, so I bleed orange and green. And I was like, oh, and I go, I think he just said, like, I played football there. I was like, you played football at the University of Miami? And he was like, yeah, like 91 to 94. And I was like, so you have a national championship ring? And he was like, yeah. And I was like,
that's
what
crazy.
In the fuck, man? That's way cooler than SNL. So that blew me away. And Finesse was a great guy. We got to spend a couple weeks with him. He brought his sweet lady with him, Dries.
Very sweet. Dries, yes.
So that was fun to hang with them. So, then I would go up. And then in each city we had local, like, contest winners.
Yeah, like open micer type kids that had only been doing it a few times.
But they both fucking destroyed.
Yeah, they were amazingly good for their level.
I thought the first kid, Dusty, he did great. He killed every night. And then... And I was like, okay, well, like, you know, he pulled it off. Then we get to Johannesburg, and they tell us that the guy that won the contest has only done stand-up 5 times.
Yeah. Can you believe
that? And we're doing an 1,800-seat venue. Ow. So we all are like, this fucking kid is going to eat his dick.
I know, and I was kind of anticipating it.
I was, too.
That first day, I was like, oh, you're going to eat shit.
We all were.
Him,
we're all
like,
this kid's going to fucking chew it.
Yeah, but you told me to stop making fun of him because you're like, just stop leaving him alone. He's like, he's so nervous.
I thought he was going to fucking have a heart attack.
I know. No, but he did super well.
No,
he
didn't. He didn't even do super well.
He crushed.
He did as well as anybody. He fucking killed.
Yeah.
Killed.
I know.
I could not. When he came off, I was like, there's no way this kid hasn't done any other type of performance. Mm-hmm. Finally, at the end of the week, I was like, have you ever done anything on stage? And he was like, I was a theater major. And I was like, okay, so that's why you're 100% comfortable walking around talking on stage in front of people. But it was incredible. And then Ian Bagg would go up.
Who is retardedly. If you guys don't know who Ian Bagg is, we're going to have him on the podcast. Just Google him. Watch his clips. Just pay attention to Ian Bagg because he is so fucking talented. I mean, that guy would just blow the roof off the joint every night. He's so amazingly funny.
Yeah, it was...
Canadian guy. He's living in the U.S.
Well, he's American.
He's
going to be American if he's not. We have to have him as a citizen now. But he is... he's a fucking
powerhouse.
Other level powerhouse. Like... He really would. He's the best. He's the best crowd work comedian I've ever seen.
Hands down. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody
and
as good
to be able to do that. I mean, you have to understand too. And the audiences are very mixed. It was like the black people, yes, white people, Indian people, everybody together. There was one night where there were Muslims, like full bearded, and then the women were like totally covered Muslims in the front row, which in the United States, I think I've only ever seen once in 10 years of stand-up.
Yeah.
And this night it was like a row of Muslims and Ian comes out and just starts fucking with them and getting them laughing. And
it's such a
so
skill.
Unique. Yeah. Very hard to do, by the way, with different cultures and
people who have done stand-up 20 years, sometimes can't do crowd work.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole skill unto itself.
It's its own skill set. And, he's as good as it gets.
We got to have him. We're going to have these people in here.
Yeah. So our show, let's see, we would go. We
and then interval, which is intermission. They call it interval.
Yeah. Right? And then you, then Brian again, Finesse. Then you would go up.
Yeah. And that was fun. It was fun because it was Women's Month. There's this thing called Women's Month.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to understand that politically, socially, they're about 20 years behind the United States because of the apartheid ending in 94. So, like, it's basically how it was in, like, the late 60s, early 70s here in the United States.
Very politically charged.
Very politically charged. And also, like, feminism kind of sort of exists there, not really. So they have to have Women's Month, which is where people are nice to women and, like, treat them as not equals, but whatever. It was a fucking trip. So I'd get out there, and sometimes I'd see people, like, arms crossed.
We had great sets.
It was
though.
Fun. We all did. Look, everybody, it was shooting fish in a barrel,
you
man.
You can't really
It was
struggle.
So much fun.
I am. We got to pick our own songs.
Yeah.
And I'm so bummed that I didn't come out. I want, you know, afterwards I was like, how did I
We know? All were like, oh, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Should have done funny songs.
This is a real uplifting jam, Tom.
But
yeah.
If they said, please welcome to the stage.
It's the saddest song on the planet.
And then I just walk out.
Yeah. And everybody's crying because this video is sad.
Right here, they're clapping.
Winter coat. This wind is they don't have winter coats in Africa. They can't afford them. Oh, Jesus Christ. Without enough to eat, who am I?
I'm trying to picture the moment I want to walk out. You get to pick your moment.
Right, right.
I can say, cue it up to 50.
Ugh.
Come on, I wanna practice this once.
Okay.
Okay, right here. Cue it up to 105.
Coming to the
Tom
stage.
Segura.
Tom Segura. I'm starting with
the man in the mirror. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Africa. And no message gonna bend. Thank you.
Who here doesn't have AIDS? Raise your hand.
Who doesn't have AIDS? This is the best comedy intro song ever.
It's the saddest song. Can you, you know what I should have gone up to? Remember that USA for Africa song?
Oh, man.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
I should have gone up That would have been fucking...
Feed the world.
Or just, what's
Let
the other one?
Them know it. What other starvation songs do we have?
Well...
This is it. I loved this song growing up. God, I love
jam,
this
huh?
video. Cyndi Lauper's in this. Oh, man. This was such a big deal. How come it wasn't USA to End Apartheid? Where was that fucking concert?
Business interests.
God, we're such
really,
assholes.
That's why we didn't
Coca-Cola and shit.
We didn't have any. We didn't impose sanctions until the end because
I hate white people now. Lionel. When we hear certain calls, when the world must come together as one.
Please welcome to the stage, Christina Pajitsky.
Hey, Johannesburg. How are you guys feeling? Raise your hands. Unless you're too hungry to raise them, in which case, keep them down. Conserve your energy.
That's Kenny Rogers before everybody came on his face.
I'm in my beard.
His fucking face is wrecked now. Tina has a voice.
God's great big family.
There's Billy.
That's all we need. This is We Are the World.
I know.
This is not USA for Africa.
It's all right.
This is Michael. We are the world.
Oh, he gets his own shot in the video. He's not mingling with others.
No, no, no. I think separately they taped it.
Yeah, that was a separate shot. It was Diana Ross.
We're saving our own lives.
All the blacks.
Oh, yeah, then they cut in Mike alone.
Yeah, he doesn't have time to go down and shoot that thing.
No, no, no.
Fucking Let's Michael. See. Send him your hearts.
Oh, that's, what's her name?
Dionne Warren.
Yeah.
Someone cares.
Miss.
Will be. Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, I love this growing up.
Yeah.
Has told us by turning stones to bread.
I wanna.
And so we all.
must lend a helping hand.
Who the fuck is that guy?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, you know, that is, that's a boss.
That's the boss.
He looks like he's taking a shit.
He really does. I fucking hate that guy so much.
George Michael. Do you think he has AIDS? Do you think George Michael has AIDS?
No. Who's that asshole?
Who's this guy? Oh, this is Perry from Journey, right?
Yeah.
We make a better day.
Great song. We could have come out great,
to. That we should have done that. But then, do they know it's Christmas time? That should be the other one too.
Yeah.
Feed the.
We should, I can't believe we missed that. We missed it so badly.
And
man.
Then like Paul Simon, Diamonds on the Soles of Her yeah. Shoes, and like all those fucking South African songs.
Fuck, man.
I know.
At least the Paul Simon song. That's cool to play, right?
Yeah.
Which song is it?
Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. About God, the diamond man. Mining. I
no,
love
what's
that
the
album.
Other one though we were
Graceland.
Listening to? Yeah.
I'm going to Graceland.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, what? The whole album I was listening to.
But what's the one
time?
That I kept singing?
I don't know. Which will get fucking sing it?
I can't remember it now. Man walks down the street.
Oh, so you can call me out.
You can call me out, yeah.
You call me out. Man walks down the street
you
and says,
fucking...
Why are my jeans so low? Why are my jeans so
Zane?
Low? Oh, we had one of our guys... driving us around, he had his jeans way up. We're gonna send
real
him a pair
high.
Of American
we
jeans.
Talked about jeans so much with him. He's like, send me some jeans. It's an old joke. It's an old joke. Every day you make joke about my jeans, send me some jeans. So
because you know what's different about like Euro jeans and African jeans is that they're way faggy.
Yeah,
like rhinestone, like you know when you see
and he wears
European
whitewash
guys,
jeans.
Yeah, you're like, what are you doing? Your jeans are yeah. fucking gay. Like
we even asked, we go, what kind of jeans do you want? He goes, like these, and they're whitewashed jeans.
Yeah,
and he's like, and we're like, how about some dark?
Yeah,
like some
Levi's
real dark jeans.
How about some
know?
American jeans, some Wranglers and shit? There it is.
This would have been fun to come.
This
out
whole
to.
Album,
you could totally come out.
I
to
love.
This.
Yeah, fuck, I fucked up. A man walks down. Says, Paul Simon. Why am I soft in the middle?
Why am I this would have been good. Has good like feelings. No. I need a photo opportunity.
I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger.
It's a great video.
Yeah, with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Who I had a crush on growing up, too.
He's a fucking talented guy.
Do you know the song's about a midlife crisis?
No, I didn't know that. I don't know anything about lyrics ever.
That's right. I'm a lyrics person. You're like
I just
a beat
like the
person.
Way it sounds.
Yeah.
But even, I consider like... The singing in a song
yeah.
is like an instrument to me.
Oh yeah,
like I just hear the way it goes.
Yeah,
remember that song that I was like, "What is this song?"
Yeah, oh, the breakup song.
Yeah,
by Gota or something.
Goater. Goaters.
Yeah,
goat
and
nuts.
It's like. Like they used to know.
Yeah.
And then it's like
when you read
stupid,
the lyrics, you're like,
yeah.
this is fucking retarded.
Seventh grade.
But I never
lyrics.
Heard the lyrics. I just heard it like a song, you know? Like
I can't do that. Like when people are talking, I have to listen to the meaning. And if it's stupid, I can't fucking take it.
I'm the like, opposite.
I'm out.
And maybe that's why I tolerate so many people.
But Paul Simon, both lyrics, outstandingly
yeah.
good music.
Yeah, he's a brilliant
guy.
Guy's
a fucking genius.
He's a musical genius for sure.
Do you know that I would open? I'd be like, here's what I knew about South Africa, guys.
Yeah.
I knew Paul Simon
and AIDS. So you had your
and
AIDS joke, too.
I did, but then I changed it later. But they laughed at me. And I was like, I love Paul Simon. I guess they think he's a fucking asshole or something.
You know who's a real asshole?
Who?
Toby Keith.
Fuck Toby Keith. No, I fucking hate him, too.
Yeah.
Do you know that he's mean to the troops when he... When he went to Afghanistan before I did
yeah.
a few years back, I heard he was a total shitbag to the troops. He wouldn't sign autographs. He wouldn't talk to anybody. Literally came in, did the show, and, like, disappeared. What the fuck, man?
Fuck you, Toby Keith.
Do you really hate... Why do you hate Toby Keith?
I saw his face right now.
Mm. Toby Keith loves
He's
ribs.
He's got a new song called I Like Girls That Drink Beer.
Oh, boy.
You fucking cunt face.
He is a cunt face asshole.
Big fake teeth. You
Tommy,
big fake tooth motherfucker.
Let's tell them the story about the journalist. Remember we were on the radio?
Oh my God. We did radio in Durban. And this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So we do radio and then while we're on radio, the local guy there in Durban named Dusty Rich says that, Tom and Christina are going to adopt me. You know, and bring me back to
right.
America.
Right, the joke being that Americans adopt African
right.
babies
right.
nonstop,
and
especially
Dusty,
in showbiz.
Yeah, and Dusty's a, I don't know, 25-year-old white guy. So we're like, we're not going to adopt you.
Yeah.
Who wants a fucking full-grown white man?
Yeah, we want a cute little black baby.
Yeah. So then we actually say, though, But you know what? We will adopt one of you. So if you come, if you come to the show tonight and the rest of the week here in Durban, we'll interview people and we'll adopt one of you.
We'll adopt one African person?
Yeah, it couldn't have been more like blatantly a joke.
Well, we're comedians on the radio.
On the radio. And then right. We said, if you come to our show, we might adopt you.
Right. That was the sales pitch.
And then I get an email a few hours later, and the subject line says, "What on earth did you do?" And then
it's always a good email to get from the director of the festival you're doing. Yeah.
I open the email, and they've forwarded one of the journalists in South Africa was like, "Are Tom and Christina, I heard them on radio this morning, are they serious about adopting a child? If they are, please give me their number so that I can interview them about their adoption procedures. If this is a joke, then disregard." And so I typed back to Annika, our press person.
Get AIDS.
I told her what happened. I was like, well, here's what happened on the radio.
Yeah.
And I go, I can't believe somebody would think this is serious. And then she wrote back, they thought it was serious because they're fucking idiots.
Right. Well, wait,
yeah,
but
I like
point,
the way you think, Annika.
We didn't, but just so you know, did you notice that we never got asked back to do radio since that interview?
That was the last
one. That was the last press we did.
And everybody else was doing, like, press every day.
Yeah, you and I did not
Ian,
get asked back.
Mitch, we didn't even finish talking about the show, obviously. We stopped by you. Ian and Mitch and Finesse.
Right.
Every day we're like, I got to go do press. Yeah. And we did it once and we're like, we've had like 10 days off without press.
Yeah, the Seguras
not
they
were like,
back.
They were like, no, you have a free day again. You have fucking 15 free days in a row.
Yeah, we didn't get that. So after I went up, who was after me?
David Cow.
Fucking Cow.
You guys, I've been doing stand-up 10 years. I'm not trying to sound arrogant or pompous when I say this, but it does take, I think, a pretty good amount to impress me. Like, I don't get impressed easily by comics. And everywhere I go, people say, like, oh, you know who's really good? And they, you know, they talk about some guy that you don't know. And then you see them and you're like, yeah, he's all right. Like, I see really funny people pretty often, man. Like,
it takes a lot to dazzle Tom Segura.
All I'm saying is that, like, you know, I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with a lot of people. We live in.
I agree. I don't think a lot of people are as funny as most people do.
The entertainment capital of the world. Like, we see all the good people.
Yeah.
David Cow is as good a comic as I've seen. He's got it all. He's so naturally funny, so smart. He's doing comedy in this politically charged atmosphere of South Africa.
Right.
And he does it as well as you can do it.
But not only that, for David is like, because of the political climate over there,
yeah,
he's like a mouthpiece for what's really happening amongst black people. It's fucking, like, what he says up there has impact socially and politically. Like,
it's so
fucking
cool
bananas.
To watch.
Yeah.
You watch it and it's like, watching him, it was just like, I didn't even get, I was talking to Finesse about this, like, I missed the majority of his references. I don't know who he's talking about. I don't know.
Well, a lot of it's South African politics.
It all is.
We knew Jacob Zuma, who's their president, after being told who that was.
But people have to explain it to you.
But you don't. I don't know the ins and outs of all
right.
that shit.
No. Why would you?
Right.
Nobody does.
But it didn't matter. Like his.
That's
bits
my
were
point.
So funny and
it's,
so amazing.
When you laugh at somebody's bit and you don't know what like who they're talking about.
Yeah.
But you still laugh. It's because there's just something special about them.
Yeah.
And that was David. Like, totally blown away. Every night I watched him.
And a solid citizen. He's such a good human. He invited us
Other
to
level.
His home, where his wife made all of the comedians a home-cooked African meal.
Christ.
And it was so fucking good.
Yeah.
She made, like, ribs and lamb chops and sausage.
Yeah.
And then pap, which is this African cornmeal-y dish, right?
Was it
was corn it's made out of?
It was delicious.
So otherworldly good. And they're so kind and so generous.
I know. I kept thinking about, like now, if David came here, I would obviously, like, do whatever I could to
Yeah, what
welcome
would you
him.
Make for him? Oh, my God.
No, but I'm saying I would try to be a gracious host.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, if he had come here first, I wouldn't be like, hey, man,
no.
let me cook a feast for you.
No.
Because I'm just not as thoughtful as he is.
That's for sure.
But they were way, way fucking nice. I mean, they welcomed a bunch of us into their home with their children and, like you said, cooked a fucking feast.
It was pretty cray.
He was, and he was like, he knew everybody. That was the other thing funny. Yeah. David knew everybody. Do you remember like guy that worked for like the Minister of Energy stopped him in a restaurant one day and talked to him for like 10 minutes while we were trying to have dinner?
Yeah.
About like, you make sure you make these types of jokes too.
Yeah, telling him what material he should be doing.
Yeah, because that's how much of an impact he has.
Oh, yeah. Very crazy.
Really incredible. And then after David went Mitch Vaitel, who had to follow.
Oh my God.
Well, that's the other thing we didn't tell you is that this guy is not only, like I said, really good,
yeah,
really smart, great material, all that, but he would fucking just, he was the only one that got regular people popping out of their seats, you know, at the
yeah
end of his set.
Oh, yeah.
Some standing ovations. And then Mitch had to follow that, and, you know, he did damn well for having to follow somebody yeah that just
who's beloved and a national treasure,
beloved in his own country.
He got a standing ovation the last night.
Yeah, but he and throughout the week, people yeah would still stand
up. Of course,
up. Yeah.
Yes. Cray, cray.
Yeah. So, and it was fun to hang with Mitch. I've never actually spent significant time with him, but you know, other than like passing by in clubs and saying hello, but it was fun to hang out with him and his fiance Jess. Who I think, no, I think they're back in the States now, but they're like,
yeah,
world travelers, fucking scuba diving, doing all types of,
yeah,
they're like they're the ones who every morning are like, what do you guys want to do today? And we're like, we're going to stay in bed.
The Sakuras are like, we're going to eat buffet and then we're going to nap it out.
Yeah.
And then like, watch some monkeys steal,
well, we're going to go on an adventure. And I was like, oh, I don't want
to. Dude, do you remember the monkeys in Durban that would steal?
Of course.
Like, we'd be eating breakfast in the hotel.
Yeah.
And a fucking little monkey, you're like, oh, look how cute the little monkey is. And then the monkey would leap on the table,
yeah,
steal a bunch of packets of sugar and then chug them,
yeah,
and run away.
Yeah.
It was fucking bonkers.
I wanted to tell you this really quickly before
yeah
we go any further. We had a little discussion, you and I.
Yeah.
We've had it on the show. It was definitely a he said, she said.
Interesting.
And this may spark your memory.
I was going to knock her in the head one day out here beside the garage because she called me young retarded. I was going to knock her in the head with a claw hammer.
And a lot of people, they tweeted, they wrote
yeah
in. It's, I got to be honest, babe, because you know
yeah
I love you.
Yeah.
The listeners spoke, and it was pretty much a landslide.
Mm.
You had a couple supporters, but everybody pretty much supported me and saying that she said she called me retarded.
You know what? The tribe has spoken, and I respect our tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But I, in my heart of hearts, I hear retard.
You think he's saying she called me a retard.
Yeah, because
which,
look,
by the way,
look,
nobody ever says.
Well, let's face it. Do you think Stevie's bright enough to use that extra syllable? What if he's
touché
just, he's excitable. He's excited. He's all talking about the claw hammer and he just gets ahead of himself.
That's possible.
Yeah.
But I want you to. Could you just listen for me?
I have been.
But could you really try here?
Ugh.
Just listen.
All right.
I was going to knock her in the head one day out here beside the garage because she called me young retarded. I was going to knock her in the head.
You don't hear it?
I hear.
You don't hear the ED?
No, I hear.
She called me a retarded?
I hear retard.
No.
She called me a retard.
You really need to clean out your ears,
retard,
man. It's so clear.
You know what, man? I'm going to stick to my guns on this.
Jesus.
I respect the tribe. But I
was going to knock her in the head
it
one day out here beside the garage because she called me young retarded. I was going to knock
you don't
her in
hear
the head
the
with
ED
a
no,
head.
I hear him say a retard.
How do you not hear that?
I don't hear, is he saying retarded? No. I don't hear retarded. I hear retard.
He says it. She called me a retarded.
I don't hear it, man. Maybe I'm
really
fucking, I'm hillbilly deaf. I can't still fucking speak hillbilly.
Well, you guys, thankfully, confirmed
retard
what I already knew.
A retard.
She called me a retarded.
Whatever.
Well,
we have another debate going.
We've been talking
now
about this one for a while.
Yeah. Well.
We each have different opinions about what's being said. Let's play the clip first, and then
okay
we can each make our statement.
Okay.
Oil on the road.
A classic. That's
a
classic. Your mom's house clip.
Right.
That is
but
from the Tourette's documentary.
We never brought up that we had differing opinions.
Right. It was kind of a given.
I think he's saying, I own the road. I own the road.
Okay.
You think he's saying,
oil in the road. Well, and here's the thing, though, is that your theory could be correct because in the scene, he's sitting in the back seat of a car mm-hmm. and they're driving. So actually, both scenarios.
And as you could be correct, we could each be correct.
Right, but I hear an L sound.
I know what you're saying.
Let's... And that could be just his brogue or fucking accent or whatever this shit's called.
Why don't you guys let us know?
Oil in the road.
Or oil in the road.
Oil in the road.
God, that's a tough one.
Oof.
That's a... It's so tough.
Mm.
Oil in the road.
It could be either one.
The oi sound. Oil.
Yeah.
Oi, but it could be oi.
Right. That's oil. What I'm saying.
Fuck.
Well, you know, you guys, you can let us know again what you think. Do you think her jeans are right? Or do you think mine are?
Oh, boy. Well, can let we fucking talk about, first of all, what the most important thing that happened on this trip is?
The most important thing that happened on this trip, absolutely we should talk about it.
Next stop, Crown Talk. Crown Talk coming up. You've been warned.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard some criticism, by the way. Mm. Some people have labeled our show nothing but a shit-talking fest.
Oh, boy.
Just a show where people talk about their bowel movements.
Mm. Mm.
Frankly, I find it very disrespectful.
Me too.
And very offensive. That's not what this show is about.
Well, no, it's not just about bowel movements. It's about farting.
Yeah.
It's about burping.
Wiping.
And now another topic.
How do you want to get into this? Why don't you explain and then we can...
Play the audio that accompanies
sure, it? Sure, because you were very thoughtful on top of what happened. You said, let's get a record of this right now.
Well, because it happened... something happened on the way over on our flight... And I wanted to get it in the moment of
really
when it happened. Because I didn't want weeks and weeks to go by and then we come back.
And then you kind of go, what happened that day?
Yeah. And you know how it is when something critical happens, you need to journal it. You need to write it down to get your feelings and everything in the moment. So we did an impromptu audio recording of me retelling and Tom and I talking about what happened on the flight over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Tom, are you gonna play it now?
Sure.
This is us in Durban discussing.
It's recording. What do you think of that?
Yep. It's exciting. We're in our hotel room right now in Durban's.
We flew from L.A. to Atlanta, Atlanta to Johannesburg, or Joburg,
as
the locals call it. And then we got on another plane and flew to Durban. But an interesting thing happened while we were en route from Atlanta to Johannesburg.
Well, actually, yeah, no, you're right. But I'm not sure when the incident occurred.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself. What happened was...
Well, don't tell them what happened.
Well, I'm saying what happened was you passed me...
Well, don't tell them that part.
Do you know how to tell a story?
Okay, you tell. Go ahead, you tell it.
You passed me a note while we're on the flight that said something, and I was like, oh, and I thought it was a joke, and then you stood up and you came over, and why don't you tell everybody what happened?
Okay, so here's what happened. We flew from LA to ATL, and I was ripping some farts like I normally do, because we got up really early. You know, and when you wake up early, you get very gassy. And so I was just ripping them like I normally do with pride. And
I did some heaters on the second flight.
We were both so.
The second flight's where I really dropped some damage.
And as did I. So here I am from Atlanta to Johannesburg, and I'm just ripping them. Hot ones, too. Really hot. And I go to the bathroom just to go pee because I can't really take shits on planes. And I noticed that there was a little brown in my underwear, and I thought, oh my gosh, is this, what is this? And I remember you telling me stories about sharding.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to wipe, and sure enough, there was evidence that
you sharded.
I sharded. My first shard.
Your whole life?
My first shard. I'm a grown man now. I sharded.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
Here, let's go back to it.
Well, because we had tacos before we got, I'm just remembering now that
they were juicy ones.
Juicy tacos in the Atlanta airport.
And then we ate on the plane right away.
Right. So now, but you know how in hindsight, it's always 2020.
Of course.
And I'm like, well, of course I sharted. We had fucking tox before we got on the plane.
Some real juicers.
Oh, a shard had occurred.
So you sharted.
I had my first shard in here. Ever in my entire life. I've never sharted. I know I'm a man. I feel like I've become a full man.
Really? You earned your wings? Welcome
my
to
brown
the club.
Wings?
Welcome to the club.
I feel
now,
like a full-grown man.
I want to make something. I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
So, you don't notice anything until... Okay.
I know.
You pull your drawers down, right? You're taking a leak.
Just farted.
And you just look down and you see in what? The...
in the undercarriage.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, they're blue. They're blue underwear.
Right.
And so, I was like, oh, what's that? Is that... Is that what I fucking think it is? Uh-huh. Is that brown? And I was like, oh my God, I had a moment of panic.
How much brown was in the underwear?
Just a spot, like a stain, like a showing.
Was it like chunky though?
Was
it like,
no,
like,
there was it, no
was
chunks.
There, was it like just a smudge? Or was
it
actually,
was like a smear. It was like it a was. Crayon. Like if you took a crayon and you rubbed it into my underwear, just a dot.
A brown crayon.
But then here's the worst part. Yeah. That when I went to wipe, there was a lot of brown.
There was.
And I panicked because I'm like, well, what do I do? I've got shitty brown underwear on the airplane. We have 16 yeah. hours to go. I can't sit in these.
Yeah.
And so I wetted some paper towels.
You turned them around. You wore them inside out in the front,
no,
right?
I did not.
What?
I did
do you
not.
Do that?
When you do that, wait, you turn
them. Tom, do you turn your panties inside out when you shard?
Of course. Everybody does that.
Not everybody.
Everybody. Yeah. If you shit a little bit in your underwear, you flip it inside out. That's what people do.
But then the poo rubs on your pants.
It's fine.
It's enough.
I'm inside out.
No, you do not.
Yeah, of course.
And you let the shitty part on your pants?
I just think you kind of just rub it down, but yeah.
No, I can't do that.
Sure you do.
That's disgusting.
Okay, so wait. So you took your underwear off?
So, yeah. So I cleaned up.
Isn't it crazy that when we pause and talk, we say the exact same thing twice?
It's so bizarre.
Our brains are just really one track.
Stupid.
Yeah.
We're not brains. Harsh paper towels, which in retrospect, not a good idea because right now my bum is pretty sore.
Yeah.
From putting water on it and then washing it off with a paper towel.
So raw.
I made sure it was all clean and then I took the underwear off and I threw it away in the trash there. And then that's when I saw you. I came back and I was freeballing in my sweatpants and I was like, babe, you got to help me bring down my carry-on. Because here's what I do. I always...
When we were in backstage and you said Tom always has blood when he wipes. Yeah. And Ian and Brian were like, really? Like, how much? And I was like, it's like big dark pools of blood. And they were like, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, oh, I thought you were gonna die.
God, so scary. Brown, brown, red.
Carry on. Carry extra underwear.
Uh-huh.
Toothpaste, floss, of course, and a day's worth of clothing just in case. And so I got down the underwear and then I put the underwear on. Now, the bummer of all of this is that I was sleeping for the rest of the trip and I was so afraid to fart.
You were?
Yeah.
And that's not a good feeling.
I know. I've had the fear of farting.
When you're afraid of your own farts?
Like, oh, especially if you had one sneak out earlier.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to be afraid of my own farts. And is this what it's like to be a man? I'm not sure I want to be a man anymore.
No, it's not what it's like to be a man all the time. But we all have days like that.
But then how do you know when you can fart and when you can't fart?
You just got to fart all the time. But there's just, once your underwear is soiled like that, then you know that you're having a day where you got to dial it in.
I threw it out in the airplane.
You threw
bathroom.
Out underwear in the airplane. Shit pants.
Shit pants.
Shit pants are in the...
Delta.
Wow.
Whoever had to clean up that saw my shitty, dirty underwear.
I mean, there was there like, you'd say like a handful of shit in them?
No, I mean, literally, it would be as though you took, like, a crayon.
And, like, let's say, how big of a line?
Like a dime. It was actually a round mark, like a dime-sized brown mark, yeah.
And so you're like, ooh.
But there was a mess in my butt cheeks. There was definitely a kind of a mess in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Little Hershey fudge
in there? Like a smear. Like if you took a Hershey's Kiss and you let it melt.
So that one was a little thick, a little juicier.
A little bit. It wasn't a chunk of poo, but it was poo-ish. It was like a residue. Mm. It was like I don't know how to explain it. Like if I were to take a mouthful of chocolate and kind of whistle, like blow or something. A spray.
Now,
it was a spray, brown spray.
You know what I think it was? I wanted to tell you this because I realized my mistake when I was on the plane. When I was on the plane, I was like, after we had dinner, I was chilling, and I was like, oof, I'm really dropping some heat. And then there was a couple that really almost made me get up and walk away. And I had a little discomfort, and I was, I was like, God. You know what the problem was? Those talks. We had those talks.
Oh, I forgot about the talks. Yeah.
The problem was two talks. I should have had one talk just to hold me over.
Yeah.
Second talk really did me in.
Well, as a rule.
Sorry, guys.
Talks.
We did have talks. Two talks
and spicy hot sauces.
Yeah,
you know what though, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
After that day, I was afraid to fart for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid anymore.
You got your confidence back.
I got my.
You got your confidence.
I got
back.
My brown wings back.
Yeah.
Oil on the road.
I own the road. Absolutely.
Oil, brown oil. I'm not afraid anymore. But I a lot of people have been asking us about African dumps.
Yes. And they were pretty good.
Well, you may have had better luck than me.
You didn't have terrible.
Well, I didn't have
a couple days you said I got African dumps today.
I got when the African dumps are.
By the way,
what?
I told the story today on the set that you sharted.
You did not.
I did.
You told people.
I told everybody.
That you work with and yeah. Your wife sharted.
So my wife sharted on the
They know me. Why would you tell executives that? They're like executives in a major network.
I said, my wife sharted on the plane.
You did not. Are you being serious?
Yeah. I told everybody. And they were like, really? And I was like, yeah. So I was telling the story.
Oh, God.
And the makeup girl was like, I sharted once. Oh, shit.
Fuck. Knocked over the bottle.
All right.
Typical.
Here,
let me get some toilet paper.
Okay, can't really tell you this with you gone.
Well, no, well, I'm right here. I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Well, what happened?
Well, hold on. Why don't we clean this up first?
Oh,
guys, this
geez.
Is real time. You get to spend time with
here,
us for real.
You're right next to it. Well, it's not big. Don't cry about it.
It's not small.
No, it's not as big as it used to be. Wait, you told people that I sharted?
You're telling the whole world right now.
Yeah, but that's people that choose to listen.
Yeah.
It's not like your employers.
That's all right. No, I didn't tell the executives.
Oh, God.
I just told everybody else.
Okay. So, go ahead.
So, I go to my wife's yard, and I tell them the story, and then the makeup girl's like, I sharted once. And I was
once?
Like, really? She's like, yeah, I was talking to my friend on the phone, and I went to fart, and I was like, oh my God. And then I go, what color clothes were you wearing? And she goes, brown juice water.
What?
And I was like, what? And then I realized she thought I was asking, like, what color did it come out?
Oh,
and
sure.
I was like, no. Like, what color clothes were you wearing? Like, did people see it? She was like, brown juice water ran down my legs.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
But that sounds like a diarrhea shart.
Right. It was.
So she had diarrhea.
She went to fart,
then
basically, and she said it filled up her shoes.
See, I didn't have diarrhea that day. I just had, like,
I know.
Morning anxiety dudes. Like, when I wake up early in the morning, I just usually get gassy and sloppy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it can happen.
It can happen anywhere.
But my African dumps, for those of you that are asking, I've been dying to tell you guys this. So what would happen, like, I would eat, like, a salad there,
mm-hmm.
and then a few hours later, I would get severe cramping, abdominal cramping, to the point where I'd be, like, bent over, just, mm-hmm. oh, fucking, it hurts, and I'd have to take my iPhone into the bathroom and, like, play Scrabble, and then eventually I would shit, and it would be, like, a normal shit.
Yeah.
And then,
but you had some cramping.
But it was weird. So those are my African dumps where you just get like severe pain and then a normal dude comes out, which is fucking bizarre. But then I also had like full blown diarrhea where like just whatever I ate, like 20 minutes later, it would come right out of me.
I got real lucky on this trip.
And we were expecting the worst. You and I got Cipro and we were like, we're going to get diarrhea. We're going to plant.
We're going to get malaria.
No, you were. I woke up at 5 a.m. and took a shit. Took an African dump, which is not like me at all.
You've never done. I usually get up to take shits in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But you did. And we also didn't get any colds or sick. I did feel in Joburg, the dryness was really starting to get to me.
And polluted. My boogers were black and stuff.
In my chest, I was like, fuck, man, like, I'm getting sick. But then as soon as we flew back, I was better.
Yeah, I think the pollution's pretty fucking terrible there.
Pretty intense, man.
I did notice the food is very good. We got fat in Africa. Tom and I gained so much weight.
So crazy.
The food's delicious. And I think the only thing that got me were salads. Every time I had a salad, I would get diarrhea.
Yeah.
But the food was amazing. It was pretty awesome. Like you said in your joke, I'm the only person that came to Africa and got fat.
Yeah, they love that. Jesus.
Yeah.
As soon as you tell people that, they're pretty, they can't believe it, you know. They're
girl, get your life.
Tell you to get your shit together.
Go get your life.
Oh, this is something I'm really excited to say.
Yes, mommy.
It's finally here. My album is coming out.
Bang!
In a couple weeks.
That's so exciting, Jeans.
I talked to the people that are doing the cover art and pressing the CDs and all that. And of course, it'll be online, but it's you know, I've been talking about it for months. It's about 2 weeks away.
Oh, it's so cool. So how can people get it?
What I've set up is if you go to my website, if you go to tomsegura.com, on the homepage, on the bottom right area, it says subscribe. And if you put in your name and email, you'll be notified when it goes on sale. We're obviously going to talk about it on the podcast when it comes out, and it'll be, you know, I'll tweet about it and all that stuff. But if you want to be like, hey, here's an alert, it's ready. It's going to be on sale.
The cover's super funny and cool, by the way. It's the artwork awesome. Is hilarious.
I can't wait to put it out. Just so you know, I'll just tell you now, the album is called White Girls with Cornrows.
Which is a fucking amazing title for a comedy album.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm happy with the album. I'm happy with the artwork. It's going to be fun.
How do you feel? I mean, because I'm doing an album is a very fucking emotional. Maybe because this is your second one, is a little bit easier.
It is, but then you get to the point too, because I recorded it in February, and you know, March, April, May, June, July, I stopped doing some of the stuff, but then the other stuff got stronger, which happens.
I hate that.
But that happened when I did the album in 2010. Like, I recorded it in January, and by October, all those bits were so much better. There's nothing you can do about it.
I guess that is the process, is that you're kind of recording one night in the span of your career. And
it's
like,
hard to be like, man.
Yeah, and it's such a bummer because the stuff that you think is okay at the time, you improve and make 100% better in a few months' time.
Yeah.
So you're never perfect. Never perfect.
The nice thing is that albums are really separate from specials. So I think I have the luxury of if I do like a special next year, I can do material from there that is super tight now.
Yeah, and that you've worked out and shit.
Right, because a DVD or a special is not an album. Like it's a separate thing. So you can do material from your album on your special and know that it's a separate, you know, piece of work.
Right.
So that's what I'll try to do if I can get a special next year. I mean, I obviously have new stuff that I'll put on there, but the stuff that I feel like is tweaked and tighter now, I'll do on the special too.
It's exciting, Jeans.
Yeah, so I'm excited
to get them.
Mommies, I really hope to get your support on this album. If you've never, you know, purchased any of our delightful products, I'm really hoping you get the album because I'm very excited about it.
I'm excited to hear it.
And, we want you to tell everybody, obviously we were gone for about 20 days. we're going to ship out your orders, everybody that ordered stuff from our store on your mom's house podcast.com. We apologize for the delay. It's obviously because we were out of the country, but we will ship everything out in the next couple of days.
ASAP.
So please forgive us. And if you're looking to get a Top Dog shirt, a Kingfish shirt, or a Highest Tightest jeans bundle, we're stocked up. Place your order.
Right, James? You have to get a Top Dog shirt. It's so good. I wear it. The best thing about the Top Dog shirt is that it's kind of like a cool, subtle thing.
Yeah.
It's like patriotic because it's red, white, and blue. And people think it's the Top Gun logo from afar.
It's really funny.
And it's like, and if you're a fan of the podcast, it's a subtle, cool. It's not like a brazen shirt we were advertising into.
No, it's pretty,
it's kind of fucking cool. Like, I wear it a lot on stage.
One of the,
I love that fucking shirt, man.
Security guys at a club I worked a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was like, man, can I get one of them shirts? I was like, yeah. And then his boys came to the club to go out for the night, and he wore his Top Dog shirt out to the club. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, because people who don't even know the podcast will buy that shirt sometimes.
And you'd have to really stare at it to figure it out. That's the thing.
Top Dog.
If you just looked at it, you wouldn't think it's anything but just...
Fuck. Babe, what? We got to tell Top Dog my shirt story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should call him and tell him.
Yeah, we should call him and then maybe get stories of his shirts.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Hey, buddy.
It's a 3-day weekend. Are you gonna, you have big plans?
Fucking sleeping.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I know, Jeans. Let's go to bed.
Let's go to bed. Let's put this up.
Okay.
We gotta put up the Momcast.
Well, thank you guys, as always, for listening to us.
Your Mom's House Podcast.com is our site. Please go there.
I was talking to them.
Stay updated on our schedule. Sorry.
No, I was just thanking them. I was having a moment with our listeners, and then you totally interrupted.
I really didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Oil on the road.
Thank you guys for listening. I missed you guys. I missed talking to you when we were in Member in Africa. I was
did.
I missed doing our podcast.
You really did.
You know, talking to the people that give a shit about our lives, and we thank you for that so much. And we're happy to share it with you.
Yep.
We love you.
We love you. Go to our site. Also, facebook.com/yourmomshousepodcast. You can like that page and see all the wonderful... You can comment. You can vote on the polls that people put up. I hope somebody puts up a poll for I Own the Road and Oil on the Road.
It's obvious.
And then retarded and
it's
retard.
It's retard.
I fucking can't believe that.
One, it's easy. It's like, are you retard? Yeah. If you don't hear retard.
You guys are the best. Thanks for listening to the show. We love you very much. You're my jeans.
My mommies.
Fucking camp.